All right, welcome back, guys. This is Believe in Rams. I'm Jake Ellenbogen. He is Cameron Lynch, and this is episode 173. Today, we're going to be talking about the Rams' loss, their disappearing act in the second half against the Philadelphia Eagles that caused them to fall 23-14. And we're also going to be talking about the Cardinals coming up. So the Eagles, 23-14 loss, and now you got the Cardinals, Cam, coming up here. I think it's a great opportunity for the Rams, but we're going to talk about the Eagles first. Cam, how you doing, by the way?
I'm doing great, Jake. You talk about the Cardinals coming into town. It's a divisional game at the end of the day, so they always count as two. The Eagles matchup was a little tough. It's a little tough to see, right? It kind of reminded me of the 49ers matchup where end of the first half, allowing the Eagles to score, which then carries over to the second half where the momentum is a little bit lower and that fight and that fire is down a bit. So, you know, we'll unpack it a bit, but the Rams have some stuff to work on. Hopefully they can work on those things and get a win against the Cardinals.
Yeah, that's definitely the hope. I think four out of the five teams the Rams played were playoff teams last year and are probably going to be potentially playoff teams this year, I would say. You don't want to have any moral victories here, but, you know, I thought the defense did as nice of a job as they could have, considering the fact they're on the field for almost the entire game. Really tough team. They hemorrhaged the clock. They really punched you in the mouth. But I thought they did a nice job, only giving up 6 points in the second half. And funny enough, we looked like we had a shootout on our hands, and it ended up being only 6 points the entire second half, Cam. So, kind of a weird game. That's what Sean McVay keeps calling it, like a weird game. Wasn't able to get guys involved. Van Jefferson plays two snaps, and then, you know, he was just traded, unfortunately, today. A big fan of Van.
Brutal.
He was traded today to the Falcons. But we're going to get more into that. Before we do have some bills to pay. So, Cam, why don't you tell our great folk out there about Underdog Fantasy?
Yes, you can start playing Pick'em or Weekly Fantasy for any sport today. Users will receive an 100% deposit match up to $100 if they use promo code OTE at sign up. Start playing Pick'em and Weekly Fantasy football today with Underdog Fantasy.
Underdog Fantasy, that is right. So, hey, you don't want to get into fantasy football, that's fine. They still got the Pick'em for you. You can get involved if you're trying to get into some sort of game and you want some sort of rooting interest. That's definitely a way, and you can make money doing it. So it works wonders there. Underdog Fantasy, using promo code OTE or Believe in Rams, as you can see at the top of our show feature there. But in addition to that, you can also go to betonline.ag, which is your number one source for all your betting needs this season. Get the latest odds, lines, and match reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting options and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website and use our code BELIEVE today to receive 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, where the game starts. So, Cam, we'll start with, Sunday. Obviously, you'd love to win this game. I thought the Rams played extremely well in the first half. Unfortunately, the offense comes off the field thinking they just had a huge momentum shift, a huge momentum swing right before the half. You score. There's not a lot of time left for the Eagles to get back in this, and now you get the ball in the second half. But then disaster strikes. Eagles go down the field, way too far down the field. We're talking, 36 seconds, and they score a touchdown. And you had mentioned earlier it was identical to the 49er game. It's the same way the 49er game went, almost exactly to a T, Cam. Giving up the touchdown with 0 seconds left on the clock. And then you talk about, obviously, the pass interference call aiding that. But in addition to that, the second half, the Rams also got the ball first, and they just were abysmal on that next, the opening drive in the second half. So really nothing went well for the Rams in the second half. Matthew Stafford was missing throws. He hits all day, every day, including that 2-2 Atwell touchdown that people are now seeing. You know, the people that didn't watch the game, they're like, man, they were that close. Yeah, well, that's the NFL. So they were that close, but you know, it is a shame. But Cam, I'm going to ask you, you know, in regards to the Eagles game, as a defensive player, I hate to do this to you, but you watched 11 missed tackles. Are you okay?
No, it was brutal, man. It was brutal. And the crazy part is, right, when it comes to Jalen Hurts, he was able to extend so many plays just because of those missed tackles, right? You think about Kobe Durant, I believe it was maybe the third quarter or so, right? Jalen Hurts is about to get tackled 2 yards before, maybe on third down as well, and he converts. It's like, dude, as a defensive player, you got to tackle. You got to wrap up. And note here, Jake, I think we talked about this before, but Jalen Hurts squats 600 pounds. He may not look big like that, but my man is strong as an ox, and he was converting first downs. To be honest, he might be first in the NFL, first in the league at the quarterback position in converting first downs. So that was a little unfortunate to see. And then you talk about the end of the first half as well. Derrion Kendrick with that flag, dude. That was a little brutal because we watched the 49ers game, and the same thing happens, right? And so now if I'm an offense – I'm looking at the Rams matchup like, hey, if I'm the Cardinals, I know I got Marquise Brown. Well, the end of the half, I know that I'm going to put Marquise Brown versus Derrion Kendrick, and I'm going to see if I can score before that happen. I guarantee you Derrion might hold him. And so that's, I think, what offenses are thinking about, Jake. And then thirdly, I feel like I've been saying this, I'm blue in the face. I sent you a video of when I was watching the film. Michael Hoyt covering Dallas Goedert on that curl flat, I almost threw up, dude. Almost threw up because not only did I see it for the Rams, but I also saw it for the Packers as well. Devontae Adams was lined up against one of the defensive ends. I'm like, you know, and I know what the defensive coordinator for the Packers. I know he was at the Rams prior to. So I get it if you have athletic defensive ends, put them out in coverage, but come on, fam. So those are my thoughts, Jake.
And they're like marveling at the idea on Sunday Night Football. Oh, look at Fred Warner. He's running stride for stride with Brandon Cooks. No, he wasn't. He wasn't. He was 2 yards behind him. It's not like it's gone past the idea of like, oh, it's impressive. No, I'm over that. Stop saying it's impressive. It's stupid. Okay. You should not be putting Fred Warner on Brandon Cooks. You should not be putting Michael Hoyt on, you know, Goddard.
Devontae Adams.
Preston Smith or Rashawn Gary or whoever was covering Devontae Adams. It's just stupid, man. I'm so sick of seeing it. And the thing that bothers me, Cam, is now you have these fans who loved Michael Hoyt last year. And let's be honest, Michael Hoyt showed up at times last year, kind of gave you some, you know, some interesting thoughts about the future, right? Well, now it's like people think he's slow, which he's not. He's probably the best athlete on the team if you think about his whole mental.
He's 300 pounds.
Yeah, his whole mental makeup with the athleticism. He's honestly incredible when you think about it. But at the same time, like, he looks slow because he's covering guys 50 yards down the field now. At the same time, like, he looks out of place and a fish out of water because he's being asked to do those backpedal drills, but in an actual NFL setting against DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. And it's gotten out of hand. I love Raheem Morris, love him, and I defend him, and I think he's had a great year, you know, pushing these guys, getting the most out of these guys. A lot of people thought this defense was going to be terrible, and it has not been. It's actually been really good, in my opinion. But this is the game. This should be the straw that broke the camel's back. It's not to say bench Michael Hoyt, but it is to say if you need to drop any sort of outside linebacker in coverage, Michael Hoyt shouldn't be who you're doing that with. You should be doing it with Byron Young. You got to give Michael Hoyt some grace because he is a good football player, and that's why he's playing in the NFL, and he's starting on an NFL team, a good one at that. But I'd like to see him go back to the interior. I'd like to see him get him on stunts, allow him to use that athleticism to his advantage, and don't just throw him out there because he's athletic. I just don't think it's such a disservice to his you know, his archetype and just who he is as a player. But furthermore, another disservice, in my opinion, is when you have a corner that's playing as well as Akello Witherspoon is playing right now. He gets an interception in a huge moment. Well, we're talking about it, you know, now it could be a two possession game, and he, you know, he shuts the door on that. He gives the Rams a chance, and Sean McVay said it. You know, we got to do a better job of putting points on the board. We just got that turnover that we were looking for. Got to put points on the board. How about Akello gets, he gets cramps, right? Has to come out of the game. So in comes Duke Shelley, who's barely played all year. He's honestly probably the second best corner on the team, because if you look at his last, I think, eight games, he's one of the best corners in football. People don't realize that. He had a really good year last year with the Vikings. And so Duke Shelley comes in and he makes the play of the game. That pass breakup on the right side of the end zone, I mean, that was huge. And so it bothers me, because I still think, as poor as the defense may have tackled and as annoying as the defense may have been, because the Eagles do that. That is their style of play. We talked about it. They're going to run the ball 35 times a game, and that's the most in the league. They ran 39, Cam. And furthermore, they had the ball for pretty much 39 minutes of the game. But here's the thing, okay? As much as they run the ball, as annoying as it was, you got to give the defense credit. They only gave 23 points up to this team that has A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert. DeAndre Swift's the second leading rusher coming in this game. He had 70 yards on 17 carries. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. And to be honest, Jake, think about the defense, right? They didn't tackle well. We talk about this is great teams will force missed tackles, right? A.J. Brown at some point, similar to Jamar Chase for the Cardinals. He was due. They were both due, and unfortunately, the Rams had a lineup against them. But what that says, Jake, this is week five, going to week six. We got to prepare for the playoffs. And trust me, the playoffs can be very similar to this Eagles game, to this 49ers game. So what do we do, right? Raheem Morris, what do we do? Okay, let's work on tackling, guys. Let's work on angles in practice. And also, let's make sure our guys are in the proper position to make those tackles. Because sometimes guys are on the left side, they need to be on the right side to make those tackles, or however you want to look at it. But at the end of the day, they need to be in better positions to be successful. And against the Eagles, they weren't, which is okay. It's a championship team. But moving forward, let's take those notes and let's put it to the Cardinals. We got to put the Cardinals away. I think we talked about it with Simone, right? Simone said this is a statement game. She said this game will be like 42-17, which it didn't happen. But this game against the Cardinals should be a statement game for the Rams. This is a divisional matchup. It counts as two. We got to put the Cardinals in the dirt, because if not, some of these weaknesses that have been exposed versus the Cardinals and some of the teams that we've lost to, it's going to get even bigger come playoff time. And I want to go to the dance, Shake. I don't know about you. As a Rams fan, I want to go to the dance. So we got to tighten this up if we want to compete in the future here.
I always used to say I want to see more than 17 games this season, or more than 16 back in the day. You know, I want to see more football. I want to see my team play longer. I also want to see them break the beak. And we're going to hashtag that this week. We're going to get people saying hashtag break the beak, because that is what's going to happen. You're going right at the Cardinals this week. To wrap up the Eagles game, though, just really awesome seeing Cooper Kupp, who hasn't played since like week 9, week 10, come out and just casually have an 8-catch, 118-yard game. I don't care that the Eagles... Yeah, no big deal. I don't care that the Eagles secondary is banged up. To have a guy who came back, who hasn't played since week 10 of last year, and just do that. I mean, just think about how good this offense is going to be when they're all on the same page. And that's to be fair, like that first half, it looked like they were, but I think we took it for granted because the second half they weren't. And I think it's just a constant reminder is that, you know, yes, Matthew Stafford and Cooper Kupp have an incredible amount of chemistry, but even they can struggle a little bit if, you know, you're not throwing to your guys that long. And they went a long time without playing in a game together. So I think that's definitely fair to say. Also, Puka Nacua showed that he can still, you know, he can still ball out with Kupp on the field. And Tutu Atwell found the end zone. So,
yeah, Van Jefferson's the only person that got the short end of the stick, you know, when Cooper Kupp came back. But we've talked about this, Jake. We talked about this to an extent. It's like, hey, Cooper Kupp gets back, our guy Van's gonna have to ball out. We've said it over and over again. Unfortunately, it came to fruition a little bit earlier than we thought it would. But what I will say is Van Jefferson going to the Falcons, I think he's going to be able to show his value to the NFL, right? He showed us. We know at the Rams, but I think he's going to be able to show it even a little bit more. And you never know, Jake. He could come back to the Rams. So I'm not saying, hey, Van Jefferson, we're writing him off because I came back to the Rams, right? I went to the Buccaneers and came back. So I do hope Van goes to the Falcons. Ritter and Heinicke get him right. You know, I keep talking about Heinicke, but hopefully Heinicke's able to throw him some footballs, him and Kyle Pittman and Van Jefferson are able to get things going in Atlanta. And then at some point, hey, Van, actually big play, Van, come on back to the Rams, man. We miss you over here. That's what I'm hoping.
That'd be cool. That would be cool. Van is one of the nicest guys I've come across in this whole industry. So, yeah, he's a good dude, and I wish him nothing but the best, for real. And we got to stop with the whole, oh, he was useless and all that. I think, you know, we really don't understand just how talented the Rams receiver room is. Yeah. Van Jefferson is the best receiver on the Chiefs day one, okay? I don't care what anyone says. He's better than Marquez Valdes-Scantling. He's better than Justin Watson. He's better than all those guys. I mean, the kid from, what was it, Central Florida or Western Michigan, I think it is. He's better than Sky Moore. He's better than Sky Moore, right? I think Rashi Rice has a chance to be really good. He's better than Rashi Rice. He's more proven than Rashi Rice. He'd be the best receiver on the Chiefs. They're actually kind of dumb for not going after him. But anyway, you know, moving on here, the Cardinals game, hashtag break the beak. I thought the Rams last week really started to feel it with the home field advantage. You know, and I think, you know, Jalen Carter comes out and he says, we started, you know, being able to time their snaps in the second half because it got loud and they had to start using hand signals. To me, that's a problem, Cam. However, if you have any sort of concern about the home field advantage, it does not happen against the Cardinals. The Rams will have this thing 95% Rams. The Cardinals fans do not travel anywhere near as well as the Eagles, anywhere near as well as the 49ers, anywhere near as well as most teams, and especially not this team that people are assuming is tanking and is starting Josh Dobbs, who we've given him a lot of respect, but yeah, it's Josh Dobbs. He's not getting guys in the seats. He's trying to, when you're already in the seat, he's trying to keep you there, but he's not getting you in the seat. He's not getting you to buy a ticket. He's trying to get you to stay and not leave early. So, Cam, I'll tell you this right now. This is a get right game for the Rams. I understand that is very cliche and people say that all the time, but this is a get right game for the Rams. They need to take this one. I understand it's a rivalry game. They need to establish their offense and their dominance, and they need to play four quarters of high octane, you know, all phases, all three phases football.
All three phases. That's what we need to hear in the presser, Jake, is all three phases played extremely well, right? Cooper Kupp, Kyren, I mean, on the offensive line, the defense, like, we need to hear that. We need to
hear
that.
Special teams getting some good returns out of Austin Trammell. I've been impressed with him.
Jake, it takes everything, and I know this is week six, but like you said, the cliche piece, right? We need those cliche pieces because it's hard to win an NFL. You know, any of those games where it's like, hey, it's only a layup. All we got to do is do what we're supposed to do and lay the ball up and we're going to win this game. The only thing that can remove the Rams from this football game is turnovers, Jake, the turnover margin. I think, thank God, Akello Witherspoon is turning the football over for the Rams defense. We need a little bit more. If I'm keeping it 100, Akello's playing lights out when it comes to turning the football over. But Kobe Durant, you know, we need these guys to step up and force some turnovers. But the only way that we can fumble this game away is if we literally fumble the football or throw it away and the Cardinals have a chance. Because this Cardinals team isn't just a team that you can just, hey, we're playing the Cardinals this week, automatic W. No, no, no. The Cardinals have beaten teams that they should, quote-unquote, have not beaten, and the Rams could be that type of team as well this week. And so, like you said, all three phases were needed this week. Get right.
Yeah. Amari DeMarcado is expected to be the running back. He had a 4.5 yards per carry average. Actually found Pater last week against the Bengals. That shouldn't have been difficult, but the Rams found it really difficult to run against the one of the worst run defenses in the league. However, big issue here. And this is the thing with the Cardinals that I don't like if I'm a Cardinals fan. Okay, Josh Dobbs turned the ball over again twice. Two interceptions last week. Actually three times he fumbled it as well. That's the first thing. The second thing is James Conner's on the IR, man. That's their best player. He's been on absolute fire. And James Conner left the game, unfortunately, after a 6-carry, 46-yard day. Guy was working on an 8 yard per carry average type of day. And, he got hurt and, you know, that's a problem. But when you look at it, you know, he doesn't get a lot of targets, but if they target Michael Wilson in this upcoming game, the rookie looks really good out of Stanford. I mean, you know, he has one of the highest, when quarterbacks target him, including, you know, obviously Josh Dobbs, one of the highest passer ratings in the league when targeted. So this is somebody I think can make some plays. He made a huge big time play, splash play against the Dallas Cowboys. So I think he's really the X factor in this one. They have to be aware of at all times because I think he's got the size. But a guy who doesn't have the size but does have that game-breaking speed is Rondale Moore. We saw him get 3 carries for 50 yards last week against the Bengals, and then he added 3 catches for 26. Obviously, we know what Marquise Brown can do, right? But it's the guys that are after Marquise Brown. No DeAndre Hopkins. And so now, without DeAndre Hopkins, you've seen these other guys have to step up. Zach Ertz, he's going to be chomping at the bit, man. He's going to be chomping at the bit.
After Dallas Goedert.
Goedert did.
Exactly.
Jeff Swaim, you know, I'm personally not like, oh, got to watch out for Jeff Swaim. But at this point, any tight end can. Drew Ogletree led the Colts in receiving, the tight end. You know, he had the game tying touchdown in that Colts game. And then Trey McBride, really, you know, he was a big draft pick. I mean, you have to be cognizant of the fact that if you are giving up this much to tight ends, it doesn't matter who you're playing. There's something not working, and if you don't fix it, anybody that's in the NFL at that level will be able to take advantage of it.
Jake, Dallas Goedert had 117 yards versus the Rams. That's absolutely unacceptable. Like, John Johnson, where is John Johnson at? Like, you know, that's my thing. Jake is like, we used him one game, right? 49ers game. I think he had a splash and then he stopped playing after that. But when you have tight ends going for 100 something yards, Jake, I don't want to keep saying this, stop dropping the defensive ends. But if I'm the Cardinals, running game is not great. Well, I'm going to go to the short intermediate game, right? I'm going to figure out what that looks like. And what I'm going to tell my team is if any of y'all see those defensive ends looking like they're about to drop out, hot route. Immediate hot route, offensive tackles. Let us know if you see number 97 or number 0 dropping back in coverage, because we're going to have a hot route lined up for our tight ends or receivers that end up in the slot, because we love to cover the slot receivers as a curl flat player. So I'm just telling my team hot routes immediately. I don't care if you have a run on, check it, check LeBron James, check whatever call that's been trending lately, right? Teams have been calling out LeBron James and different people like that. But check LeBron James, throw it to the tight end versus the defensive ends for the Rams, because I know they're going to catch it and I know they're going to get yards. That's my offensive scheme. Or even run it towards defensive ends, Jake, because and we talked about it earlier, but the defensive ends are kind of stuck in between covering and holding down the edge. And so if that's the case, I'm running at them every time. If I don't have a run game, I'm going to run at them every time, and I'm going to create one because that's where the openings are. So I can say I feel like a broken record, Jake, but at some point, someone's got to listen to what we're saying here and make some changes.
I get it, man. I get it. Last year, the Rams and Cardinals split. The Cardinals did get the last laugh at SoFi. Keep in mind, the Cardinals also beat the Rams at SoFi the year they went to the Super Bowl. So they have beaten them a little bit at SoFi. Last year in the first game that they met, Cardinals were 1-2. The Rams were 2-1. And Matthew Stafford did play the game. He didn't throw a touchdown in that game. We had a rushing touchdown from Cam Akers, who ran for 5.1 yards per carry. Cooper Kupp ran a 20-yard one in, and the leading receiver was Ben Skowronek. It was actually a weird game. Cooper Kupp only had 4 catches for 44 yards. So we'll see what happens, but 14 catches for 140 yards, Marquise Brown. He was eating Darion Kendrick alive. So I'm very curious how that looks moving forward. But, you know, you had Greg Dortch with 9 catches for 80 yards, former Ram there. And Zach Ertz went for 6 for 45. And then they really held James Conner in check. So we'll see what ends up happening. But, Cam, I think that's going to do it.
That's going to do it, Jake. What I will say for the Rams faithful, it's only week 5, going to week 6. Of course, we have some overreactions, but it's getting into like that playoff time now pretty soon here. And so let's start getting a little bit more serious about the gameplay and what we're seeing on film here. And I mean, you know, to be honest, Jake, fans can't make changes, you know, for an organization, right? They can shout and they can yell, but they can't make change. But what I will say is this Rams team is a lot different than last year. It's really cool to see. And for those Rams fans that have stuck with us last year and still sticking with us, hey, buckle up. Buckle up, because once the Rams figure it out in these upcoming years, you know, we don't want to see any flip-flop. But really cool to see, Jake, this Rams team turning around, and got to get this dub this week against the Cardinals. Break the beak.
Break the beak. So that's going to do it. I'm Jake Ellenbogen at JK Bogan. You can follow me on socials. He is Cameron Lynch, your former Rams linebacker. And you can follow him on all socials at Cameron Lynch 50. We'll be back next week. But until then, guys, take care.